Good morning. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verses 5 through 7. It says, therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, Father. Thank you that as we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, Father, this morning we come together in freedom. We worship this morning not in fear of our lives being taken from us or from authorities breaking into our doors and torturing us or worse, Father, or putting us to death. Father, this thankfulness, though, doesn't extend to all of my brothers and sisters in this world. So, Father, this morning, as we come to you to worship you, Father, we would lift them before you. We pray that you would strengthen them, that they would live just as we would live in such a way that God would glorify your name. That, Father, when those that don't know you are beating us, Father, or beating our loved ones, that you would give us the grace to lift your name up, to be counted worthy, to be persecuted for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would give us all a perspective that is on your kingdom, that as we think about your word today, that you would help us to minimize the temporal, to minimize the things that are around us, but God, to focus on you, to know you, to glorify you above all else. And this morning, Father, for us, let us glorify you in hearing your word. But not just hearing it, that your Holy Spirit might change us, that we would incorporate it, that, Father, we would leave here not just saying good sermon, but we would leave here ready to glorify you and how we live. Father, we can't do that apart from you. So, Father, this morning, we ask that you would be here with us, that you would indwell us, that you would give us understanding. Father, we need you above all else. And Father, we ask that you would draw us to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me read through that. It's a short passage. Let me read through that one more time. It says, therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. This morning, if you are like me, you turn your TV on or your news on, wherever you get the news, and if you're like me, there are times when I look at all that and I just shake my head, especially this time of the year when taxes are coming soon. Just last night, in a way not glorifying to God, I talked to my parents and was talking to my dad, and I said, you know, this time of the year is not a fun time of the year. I said, I wish those people that didn't go to work and yet still got $10,000 back from the government would at least give me a little bit of it so I could pay the government what I owe them. And I complain, and this isn't right, that I shouldn't do this. And as I prepared for this, I thought about, I complain about, just like the Israelites, about very small things. Because in this time, as we look at Romans and we look at this time in church history, taxes were much different than they are today. While there are similarities, if I decide this year I'm just, you know, I'm not feeling it, April 15th is coming, I don't want to do the paperwork, I'm just gonna skip that this year, I'm going to play hooky, and I might get away with that. I might get away with it for a couple of years. But I can almost but guarantee after a few years go by, the Romans, or not the Romans, but the American guys in their suits with their dark sunglasses are going to show up at my door. And maybe they won't beat me. Maybe they won't take the Roman soldiers with them to enforce their tax collection efforts. Yet, those people are still there. And if I continue to not obey, I will find myself imprisoned. I will find myself at force, being forced to pay my taxes. Now, that is a stretch. I mean, that is a very long process in our culture. In this culture in Bible history, it wasn't that way. In fact, they might not even have an April 15th. They may not know when the tax collector is coming. It might be just a knock or a beat on your door, and you open the door, and here is the local tax collector with a couple of big Roman soldiers at each side saying, today you will give me this, this, or this, or these guys are going to get it out of you. They're either going to get it out of your, in our day we would say, they're either going to get it out of your checkbook, or they're either going to get it out of your pocketbook, or they're going to get it out of your hide. You pick which one you would like. Except in this time, there's not a tax return. There's not, there are some rules, but those rules are highly subjective by the guy with the Roman soldiers. And this guy was even more motivated because he may know what the rules are. He may say that Sam here owes him two goats, but he shows up and says, Sam, today you owe us five goats. Why does he say that? Because the pen at his house is about three goats short, and he knows the Roman government wants two of them. If he says five, he takes three home and puts it at his house. Imagine that today. Imagine if the IRS could show up at your house at any time. You don't really know what the rules are. They do. They know that Brody owes them $500. They show up at your door with two great big guys with sunglasses and violin cases, and they say, Brody, today you owe me $1,500. You either get it out of your pocketbook or we're going to get it out of your hide, Brody. Right? We smile at that today, but that is the very system they lived under. This morning, if they are back in Romans, when they read this letter that told them to pay their taxes, it was even more stinging to them than it would be to us today. While we can look and complain and to know that our taxes go to things that I don't want them to go to, in fact, our taxes sometimes go to things that are even extremely immoral, things that I would be against. And I could rise up and I could complain and I could say, I'm going to beat this system. I'm not going to pay them. I'm going to figure this out. And at this time in history, that's exactly what they were thinking. Like, we can't, and another difference, and I'm not going to take too many rabbit trails, Dave, but another difference is today we give them our money. We live in such a prosperous culture that we can still pretty much make ends meet. We don't have to worry about our family starving this winter because the IRS showed up and wanted $1,500. We have people that we are surrounded by people that live in abundance that can help us. At this time, if the tax collector showed up and if he took enough of your stuff, it may mean the very death of your family this winter. They had much to be upset about. But look what Paul says. He says, pay them. He doesn't say pay them if they do this, pay them if they're going to use it for that or this. He says, pay them. Look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 17 through 21. Jesus himself not only clarifies, but says these very things. They ask him, should he pay his taxes? And look what it says. He says, tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me a coin for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, therefore render to Caesar the things that are of Caesar's, and to God the things that are of God. So the question this morning, the first question is, why do we pay taxes? Why pay them? The first point is, we are commanded to be subject to the governing authorities. In Romans 13:1, it says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. No matter, we went over this a little earlier in Romans, but no matter who the president is, whether he's your favorite guy or the worst guy that you could ever imagine, that he isn't there by mistake. God isn't figuring out the leadership of America on election night. He's not surprised when the TV comes on and they're flabbergasted because their polls aren't correct, they're not turning out the way they thought. God isn't surprised on that day. God yet looks forward and sees that his will is being done. No matter who is in authority, he is in authority because God has placed him in authority. God is sovereign. Now, you might say, well, you know, how could God pick this guy or that guy or the guy before him? How could God pick this? This guy is such a crazy bad guy. And this morning, the quick answer is this, that God places people in authority either to bless us or it could be God's, it could be his wrath towards us. That God places people in authority to display his wrath upon a nation. And the further a nation sways from God, the worse, the more corrupt its politicians will be. Why? Because God, that is God's punishment on you, on that nation. So we are commanded to be subject to the governing authorities. We're commanded to pay our taxes. If you remember, a month or two ago, times went pretty fast in the last few months, but a month or two ago, we looked specifically at the speed limit. And a lot of you probably thought I was nitpicking that day. But we're commanded to obey the speed limit. God is a precise God. When God tells us to build the ark or to do whatever, God gives precise measurements. God didn't say, if God told us to cut a log at 55 inches, he didn't say 59 inches were okay. And God is precise. And when he commands us to obey the government, he commands us to obey rightly, not to push it, not to cheat on our taxes a little bit, not to check a box that shouldn't be checked because they don't deserve all this money out of our check. Not to push it just a little bit because I've got to be in Carthage faster than 55 is going to allow me. But God commands us to submit to our governing authorities. The second reason, and I believe an even more important reason, or not more important, but equally important reason, is that taxes are temporal. Taxes are of this temporal system, of this earth system. Look at Matthew 17, 24 through 27. It says, when they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax went up to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the tax? He said, yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take toll or tax, from their sons or from others? He said, from others. Jesus said to him, the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you'll find a shekel. Take that and give that to them for me and for yourself. We live in a world that God is sovereign over. God doesn't need money. Amen? When the preacher on TV says God needs you to send them $1,000 to sow a seed and all that mumbo jumbo nonsense junk, God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need it. God doesn't need money in this world. God, if he desired for you to have, or desired to have money for something, he can go fish, have somebody go fishing, catch this fish for me and grab it out of his mouth. God's like, I'm not going to burden any of you on this. I'm going to take care of it myself. And in fact, to go back and apply this to ministry, if God is for a ministry, if God is blessing a church, the money shows up. In fact, if you remember, I've spoke before of George Mueller, a missionary and an amazing man of God, decided early on in his ministry that he wasn't going to ask anybody for money, that he was simply going to pray, and he was going to believe that as he prayed to God, that God would provide for him. And when George Mueller died, he supported over 100 full-time missionaries, had 2 or 3 orphanages, and all of these things he supported by not asking anybody for anything, simply praying and watching God move to make the money show up. Now, this doesn't neglect or negate you from giving as God would call you to give, but God doesn't need your money. Money is, in fact, temporal. Money is stuff of this world that isn't going to last forever. Money is something that's easy for God to take care of. In fact, everything's easy for him to take care of. But it's of no consequence. If somebody yesterday, I went to their house to visit somebody that is injured, was in the hospital, and they said, oh, they're not here, they're somewhere else, but we have a computer, and it won't turn on, and we don't know what to do, and it has all this stuff that we've got to save, and do you have just a second? Could you just go out and look at it and see what you think? And I turned it on, and it turned on, the fans ran real hard, and it started making this beeping, beeping, beeping. And they said, we'd at least just like to get the stuff off of it. Do you think that's possible? I said, oh, that's a RAM beep. This is easy. I took the cover off, reseated the RAM, turned it back on. It came back on, and they're like, it was of no consequence. Why? Because God has blessed me with the experience to know that. But money is the same to God. He says, why are you worried about that? Why are you worried about paying the government, your taxes? It is God who provides. In John 6:27, it says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. The scriptures in many places have warned us to this. And this is your and I's problem. We live in a temporal world 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. We live in it so much that we assume that this is our priority, that this temporalness controls us. We begin to think that this is all there is, just as the non-believer, and they rightly so believe this, because they say, well, this is all there is. I might as well live life while I'm here. I might as well do everything I can possibly do. There's a phrase, I can't remember what it is, but it's basically, you only live once, right? They even have initials that somebody puts on social media, whatever the letters for that is. It's basically, they're saying, you only live once. You might as well have fun. You might as well just go after the world. You might as well do everything that you can possibly ever want to do, because you only have a short amount of time, and then it's all over with. And yet Scripture says this is the great deception of man, because Scripture says this is but a short time compared to eternity. And so we're reminded, pay your taxes, because this is all temporary. This is all temporal. In Matthew 6, 19 through 21, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, or do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you hear that? Where you are building your treasures, that's where your heart is. If you are building your treasures here on earth in this temporal time, your heart will be here, and it will be far from God. It will be far from the eternal. In Matthew 16:26, we're reminded once again by Jesus. He says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? This morning, this deception is alive and well within those who don't know Christ. They say, I need to just live life. And yet they're not understanding when they are living life here, when they're putting everything into here, they are neglecting all of eternity. They're neglecting a relationship with Christ forever and ever and ever in exchange for just a few short moments in time. We can see this ideology creep into our very lives. All we have to do is look at our schedule. Do we spend most of our time on the temporal? Do we spend most of our time building our mansions taller, or our stuff more? Not to use that to serve God, but to serve ourselves, to put in a new movie theater, or to do this or that. How about in our conversations? Are our conversations always about the temporal? Is it ever about the eternal? Is it ever about Christ? Think about our prayer requests. If we look through our prayer sheet, are our prayer requests about the temporal, or are they about the eternal? Now, to dig into that just a little more, think about your friend who is in the hospital, who has done whatever. They've broken a leg. Are we fervently praying for them that God would heal their leg? He would guide the doctors, that he would do whatever it would take to get them back on their feet or back on their track? Are we praying for the temporal? Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for the temporal, but this should be the minor part of our prayer. If we're concerned for their eternity, it's, God, can you show them? What are you teaching them? God, can you use them in their situation? Can you use them to reach out to people, to share Christ? Or God, if they don't know you, God, I'll be completely honest with you. This is my prayer for my friends and my family who don't know Christ. My prayer for them is, God, will you break them? Will you tear them up? Will you destroy them? Will you do whatever it takes to get them to come to a knowledge of you? Will you do whatever it takes to cause them to repent? Will you wake them up? Will you take their minds off of this temporal stuff and these temporal legs and this temporal body? And God, change their mind to place it upon you. Because my best friend can go to hell with perfect legs. My best friend can go to hell without cancer. My best friend can go to hell with everything perfect temporally. But far better would it be that God would strike him with every disease on the planet, if it would wake him up, even in his last seconds, that he would cry out to God in repentance, that he would know a God who he could love for all of eternity, rather than two perfect legs burning in hell for all of eternity. Is our prayers for the temporal? Is that what we are marked by? As we come together in corporate prayer, I believe we need to take this to heart. We need to take our eyes off of what is here today and pray fervently for people to come to know Christ. Pray fervently that people would know him in such a way that this word is not offensive to them anymore. That they don't need to go to a church service that's full of gymnastics and jumping through hoops and entertainment and smoke machines, but they come to church because they love God and they love his word. And they come to hear his word because they love him. They don't love to be entertained. They don't love the temporal, but they love Christ. And then finally this morning, if we come back to Romans 13:7, see, this all makes sense in light of this. It says, pay to all what is owed them. It's just stuff. It's just green papers in your wallet. By the way, that tomorrow could be worth nothing. Pay taxes to who they're owed. Don't cheat on your taxes. Don't disgrace the name of Christ. Don't disgrace God by being audited by the IRS and put into jail because you wanted more of his temporary stuff. Pay revenue to whom revenue is owed, even if you don't agree with it, even if you don't support it, even if you have to pay for it already on your own and then you pay for it again to the government. Respect to whom respect is owed. It's easier to respect someone if we understand that we're not living for today. I'm not living for my pride. I'm living for Christ. I'm living for eternity. So even if I don't like the person, even if they do everything I don't like, I will still respect them because it's owed to them, because God has placed them into this position. I will, no matter who is in the office of president, I will call them Mr. President. No matter how corrupt the police officer is, I will still call him officer. I will still be polite to him. Why? Because this is all temporary, and God has placed him here. And if I respect him, I am respecting God's word. And last, honor to whom honor is owed. Let me take this just a little bit into our families. I'm called to honor my wife. She is owed my honor. If there's a day like today where I wake up and it seems like I was woke up way too early, and I'm also, for some other reasons, I've eliminated coffee from my diet, and I wake up and it just like, I'd just like to have 3 or 4 hours where I could just sit here and sit with my Bible and not hear any other noises. And every person that makes a noise, it kind of just makes me a little grouchy. You know what? That's all me focusing on the temporal. My wife deserves my respect. Your husband deserves his respect. Your wife deserves your respect. It is owed to her. My parents, whom are not in a repentant faith in Christ deserve my respect. I might disagree with what they do, how they do things, but they deserve it. God calls me to honor my parents. Now, young people, I'm almost not a young people anymore. But this morning, you live with your parents. God tells you to honor them, to respect them. Not because they do everything you want, not because they won't let you go swimming for 5 hours a night every night. Sometimes they won't even let you have a cookie after supper. And as you become a teenager, you can, if you don't understand this, you can become more and more and more angry at the people who love you the most. And I would tell you this morning to ponder on this. Because your getting angry is very evidence that you are putting too much emphasis on the temporal. That God is the only one who can save us. Give honor where honor is due. And this morning, if you don't know Christ, if you are sitting on the fence, if you are waiting, if you're just playing the game, but then going back to your life and living how everybody else lives, this morning I would tell you, your eyes are on the temporal. Your eyes are on what's here today. There is nothing here, there is nothing I have that I could give up that would ever come close to the greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. There's nothing here that's even comparable to him. And this morning, if you are putting your trust in the things of this earth, I would tell you to turn from that. Turn to Christ. Put your trust in him. If you look at your heart and you were honest with yourself, you would say, I have much against God. I don't honor him. I don't read his word. His word isn't even interesting to me. I show up to church and I check the box and that's good enough. The Bible says it is not. The Bible says you must repent and trust in Jesus Christ. And not just because of today, but for all of eternity. You will gain something far better than anything this world has to owe or has to give you. This morning, Jesus makes this offer to everyone in here. The Bible says that our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all things. That if we looked at our hearts, we would know that we have incredibly missed it. That our lives are, before I came to Christ, my life was about myself. And everything in it was about myself. Everything, it was about what I wanted. But God has given us his law that we might see our hearts the way he sees them. And just to look at one of the commandments, thou shalt not lie, we would all giggle this morning if I said, anybody that's never told a lie, raise your hand. But in fact, that shouldn't be a giggle. Because God says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. This morning, if you are putting your trust and your goodness to make it to heaven, to be with Christ for eternity, even one lie is going to cause you to get what you and I both deserve. And that is eternity and punishment. This morning, turn to Christ and live. Don't be distracted by the temporal nature of the lives we live, but trust in Jesus Christ. Turn to him. Be saved. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you again, Father, that even as we come to topics that seemingly could frustrate us, while we don't have it as bad as those did in Rome and in the Middle East during that time, Father, each of us, I'm sure, grumbles at times about our tax. Father, I pray that you would help us to take our eyes off of this temporary life. Help us to wake up every morning. Let our heart cry be, God, how might I serve you today to affect eternity? How might I be used by you today, Father, to affect eternity? Whether it be like the disciples, whether it be like Paul, who considered it a privilege and an honor to be beaten for Christ. There's so much of our culture wants to escape anything that's hard. So many want to cry out against you that you're not a good God if you let us go through hard times, or if you let us be beaten, Father, or even if you would let us fall and hit our head on a step. Father, we are so sinful as a culture. How dare us ever put you under our feet and for us to judge you, Father. God, help us break this fix we have on the temporal. Let us count it as joy to serve you, Father. Whether it leads us to Pakistan, whether it leads us to China, Father, to help those that are infected by a virus. Father, wherever you would lead us, Father, I pray that we would lay down our lives for you. That, Father, you deserve it. That, Father, you are well-deserving. Father, we're not deserving of anything. Father, I pray that even in our prayer life, we would begin to have an eternity focus. That we wouldn't just be satisfied with our friend being healed of cancer, but if they don't know you, Father, we would pray fervently that through their circumstances, that the path you've led them, that God, you are using that to save them. Father, so often I'm afraid that as we pray for healing, Father, we are praying directly against your will. And it's all founded on a temporal view. God, help us to see in light of eternity. Help us to understand that you are breaking people for their good. Father, there are those who don't know you this morning, who maybe look as if they do, maybe play the game well. Father, I pray that you would break their hearts until they come to know and love you, Father. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'd stand, we'll sing a song together. If I could pray for you for anything, feel free to come down. I'd be blessed to pray with you.
Sovereign God, O matchless King, the saints adore, the angels sing, and fall before the throne of grace. To you belongs the highest praise. These sufferings, these passing tides, under your wings will abide, and every enemy shall flee. You are my hope in victory. So praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, called in power. Whole, your word my heart as well.
Seated. Can we get a couple of ushers to come?